Good morning.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, welcome to New Life Church.
We are a church committed to changing lives.
And we want to be in a community that's diverse.
And having a radical impact on this world for Christ.
And if you'd like to connect with us more, you can go to our Instagram and Facebook pages or our website.
Now let's lift our voices together to sing the praises of our loving Savior.
Let's worship our Lord and Savior Jesus.
Let's worship.
Thank you.
Thank you, worship team, for leading us in worship. You guys sound a whole lot better than we do in my living room, but that doesn't stop us from worshiping, and it doesn't stop me from singing at the top of my lungs. Anyways, my name is Helinda Vanderkooy. I've been a member at New Life Church for like 20 years now, and yeah, I'm your host for this week's Sunday service, and I'd like to introduce you to my bubble. These are the three youngest of my children.
Lucy, I'm Violet,
I'm Joe.
So it's the second Sunday in the season of Advent. Last week we lit the candle of hope, and this is a time of waiting for the coming of Christ. Each week, along with reflective reading, we'll light a candle to remind us of this time of waiting, this time of anticipation. We welcome you to set up 5 candles of your own at home and follow along with us. So now for today's Advent reading on peace.
Many years after the prophets, the people were still waiting with hope for the one promised by God through Isaiah's words. God was watching a woman named Elizabeth and her husband Zechariah, who were faithful and loving. They were sad because they wanted to have children, but Elizabeth could not get pregnant. Although one day, when both of them had grown old, Zechariah was praying at the temple when an angel came to him.
"Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear a son. You will name him John. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in God's sight. He will help many of the people of Israel come to closer to God. He will help them prepare for God's coming." Luke 1:13.
The whole earth is holding its breath, waiting for what is to come. Everyone has the feeling it will be something wonderful and something different from God has done before. On Christmas Eve, we will hear the ending, or really a new beginning, to the story. Until then, let us wait with the prophets and with Elizabeth and Zechariah and baby John, anticipating the good news of great joy.
Let us pray. Dear God, in this very busy season, with so many things to do, help us to hear your voice calling, to prepare us for our Lord and Savior Jesus. Call us to repentance. Live in us by your Spirit, that our lives will produce good fruit to the praise and honor of your name. Amen.
And now on to the announcements. I'd like to bring your attention to the missions catalog. Our annual missions catalog is available online. Last year, Mr. Barnhorn said the chickens were so popular that they had to start raising chickens throughout the year to give away to people who wanted them. So please take a look in the catalog and see where you might have a chance to give and a way to support. Speaking of Christmas, celebrate Christmas this year with the Bethlehem Walk. The Bethlehem Walk is an interactive event where individuals can literally walk through and peek in on the Christmas story. We will have different stations throughout the church. There will be narratives going on, stories will be told, there'll be games, activities, music, and more. Participants can sign up for a 20 to 30 minute time slot on Christmas Eve, December 24th, or Christmas Day, December 25th. Join us this Christmas for an event that's fun for all ages as we celebrate and remember the birth of Jesus. Now for today's offering. The offering is for New Life Ministries. Please give as you are able, especially in this time in which we need to hear the message of hope and good news. As you can see on the screen, we have many ways to give. If you'd like to learn more on how to give, you can check out the link below in the video description. Please join me in praying for today's offering. Heavenly and loving Father, you are so good to us. Dear Lord, and at this time of year, I pray that we are grateful for all that we have and that we would give out of our abundance. Dear Lord, because we do have so much. of course, we could think of what we don't have, but dear Lord, we do have plenty. And so help us to give out of that so that new life can fulfill its purpose through the different ministries that we run. Thank you for loving us, and thank you for the best gift of all, which is the gift of Jesus. We praise your holy name, and we thank you for New Life Church, for the people gathered here, and for this community that we have. Even though we have to keep 6 feet apart, dear Lord, you are holding us in the palm of your hand, and you love us and care for us, dear Lord. So help us to live a life of gratitude, and help us to do that right now through this offering. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So now it's time for children's dismissal. So kids, listen up. Pastor Sam has put together a video and activity sheet for you. All of these materials can be found in the video description or on our website. Every month, New Life Kids start a new lesson series. This month's series is called Light It Up. If you want, you and your kids can get more out of the weekly videos. There are some reflection prompts following the lesson that can help your family dig deeper into each lesson. Now would be a good time to pause the video, to set up your kids, and when we come back, we will be joined by Pastor Nathan. Thank you, and have a terrific Sunday.
Well, good morning. It's great to be with you again on this second Sunday of Advent. Before we get started, I just want to mention as well that we will be celebrating communion, just to remind you, in a moment, right after the message. And so if you haven't prepared something, perhaps you could stop the video and gather some bread, some juice, and be prepared to celebrate with us together on this Communion Sunday. In this Advent series, we are following a Christmas to-do list. And the list, at first glance, may seem rather mundane and obvious. It includes things like believing, obeying, singing, telling, wonder. Obvious things. Nothing terribly exciting. Except that here's what I've discovered, at least in examining these first two items. Last week we looked at believing, this week we're looking at obeying. And I've discovered that they're not what we expect. Last week we looked at the character of Mary in the Christmas story and saw in her the model for the new believer. And we saw that believing isn't just some kind of general faith in love and peace, but it is a scandal in the eyes of ordinary humanity over what God has done for us. And this week's to-do item seems also, at first glance, ordinary and obvious to obey. Maybe you remember when you were a child, or maybe this just happened to you last week or something, that when your parents asked you to do something and you would say, "Well, why do I have to do that?" And they would simply reply, "Don't ask why, just do it." And that seems as simple as what obedience ought to be. So this week we're taking a look at the character of Joseph to recognize what obedience looks like in the context of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Christ child. So we're reading from Matthew chapter 1. Luke's gospel introduces the birth of Jesus through the perspective of Mary, and Matthew's gospel introduces the birth of Jesus through the perspective of Joseph. This is the word of the Lord. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. And because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, Do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: the virgin will conceive, give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Now, at first glance, Joseph seems, well, like a typically obedient person. He's described as a righteous man, following the law, and so a very religious man, doing all of the right things, being obedient. But not only that, but also as the story describes it, as he hears from God, he simply obeys. He does as the angel of the Lord commands. And so he's described and portrayed as just a wonderfully obedient gentleman. He obeys what God told him to do, to keep Mary as his wife, which we might read and think, oh, well, he just did what was nice. But the Word of God is describing something quite different in terms of obedience than just being nice and following the rules. So we need to take a closer look at this story. And the first thing we need to recognize is Joseph's deep dilemma. So in our culture, the height of the definition of our identity might be our authentic self. So we encourage people to be themselves. That's what identifies us. That's what portrays our identity. When you do your own thing, that's what we emphasize. But Joseph lived in a culture that was based on a performance. And it was also based on shame. So, in other words, you performed according to expectations of the surrounding society. And if you did not perform accordingly, if you did not conform, then shame was heaped upon you so as to coerce you into obedience. And so for Joseph, his reputation depended on how well he performed. His good name depended on how well he obeyed. His economic success depended on how well he obeyed. And if you didn't obey, well, then you were down and out. So now consider the situation that Joseph was in. He's been an upstanding citizen of his community. He's been following all of the rules. He has been arranged to have a wife, and he is now pledged to be married to her, which was a legal act, something that he couldn't just simply walk away from. And then in the middle of all of that, of being pledged to be married, in the middle of his engagement, somewhere along the line, Mary comes to him and reveals to him that she is pregnant, and evidently explained to her, to Joseph, that she's pregnant, but not because she had relations with another man, but because an angel said that she would conceive by the Holy Spirit, and that the baby that would be born to her is the Son of God. Now, imagine that you are Joseph. How would you react to that story? You are already, basically, from our perspective, you're already in a marriage. And Mary comes and says she's pregnant. And I suspect that Joseph would have at least first been tempted to react with the words, "Nice try, Mary. Are you serious?" Or perhaps he responded and said, "Okay, I believe you, I think, but nobody else will, so we need to come up with a different story." Or maybe Joseph said, I believe you. But where does that leave me? And that's Joseph's dilemma. He's a righteous man. He's known to be a follower of the law. But now he has to confront Mary, who is pregnant, and match that up with the law that demanded that Mary be publicly exposed and stoned for this wickedness. Joseph is a righteous man. So now he's caught in this huge dilemma. The righteous thing to do would be to put Mary away. In fact, to put her to death, as it says in Deuteronomy 22. "For in this way you will purge Israel of such evil." That's the righteous thing to do. But Joseph can't bring himself to doing that. He doesn't want to publicly disgrace Mary. He doesn't want to ruin her life, doesn't want to take her life. And it seems that he really did believe Mary's story. And so he decides to put her away silently. Giving her a divorce quietly was Joseph's solution to all of this, to simply kind of put it all aside and then just buckle down, put his head down, and just kind of get through life. Because from now on, Joseph would always be known as that Joseph. And that's Joseph's solution, just to put up with these kinds of things in life and, well, it's the best he could do. To calm everything down, to set things on a more or less even keel, and just reduce the anxiety. But God has a different plan entirely. John Ortberg comments that this anxiety removal that Joseph was into is, in fact, not part of God's agenda at all. I mean, after all of the worry of Mary's future, all of the worry of his own future, now God comes to Joseph to explain how everything is going to go. After all of that anxiety that Joseph has been through, and that now he's just trying to kind of brush under the carpet, after all of that, God comes to him finally. Seems odd that God is not interested even in simply relieving Joseph of his anxiety. And Joseph, the way he responds impresses me. Joseph is a faithful servant. He's a man of God. He's a man who's listening to God. He's a man who hears God. And he, in fact, hears the instructions to which Joseph then could obey. And so perhaps that's the first lesson on obedience, is that obedience begins with listening to God. Obedience begins with hearing God. And the question for you and me today is, how are we hearing God these days? In the midst of all that is happening, are we taking the time to listen to God? And so God comes to Joseph. And God tells Joseph, go ahead, take Mary to be your wife. Which sounds to us like, it's a reasonable thing to do. But for Joseph, it was the most unreasonable thing to do. Because it, in fact, deepens his dilemma. Not only is he trying now to escape out of offending Mary or ruining her life, but now, in fact, God is inviting Joseph to ruin his own life. Because to take Mary as his wife is basically an admission, then, that he's, in fact, the father. And everybody would go around town saying, "See, I knew it. Joseph slept with Mary before he was even married." Admitting meant that Joseph would no longer be regarded as the righteous man that he had established himself to be through observance of Torah, of the law. It meant that he would no longer be the successful carpenter that he presumably was based on his good reputation, because that would now be gone. Joseph would no longer carry a legacy of righteousness by Torah, the law. In other words, to obey God and to be faithful, Joseph had to make the biggest sacrifice of his life. In fact, he had to give himself up with nothing to gain, absolutely nothing to gain, but to let Jesus be born, to let salvation come into this world. So here's the second thing about obedience. It's not just about listening to God, hearing God give us his instruction, but obedience is about the willingness to surrender absolutely everything to God. That's the kind of obedience that was asked of Joseph. An obedience that in fact would taint his reputation for the rest of his life. An obedience that made him look bad. An obedience that would place his family and his future under scorn and mockery for the rest of his life. So what's God up to? In fact, God is up to establishing a new kind of righteousness. Joseph leads us all of us, into that new kind of righteousness, just as Mary models the new kind of believing, the outrageous scandal of what God has done in coming into this world in human flesh. So also Joseph is the model of obedience for us as we enter into this new kind of righteousness. Because ultimately, that new righteousness is established through the perfect obedience of Jesus, the child who perhaps even learned obedience from his earthly dad, Joseph, and who ultimately then obeys his heavenly Father to give himself up, to give up his own life, to save us into a perfect righteousness. You see, the good news at Christmas is that complete righteousness, perfect righteousness, is made available to us through this Christ child, even as Joseph obeyed. Entering into a new righteousness turns the whole then known world upside down, this new righteousness. No longer is it merely about obeying the laws, or perhaps even just disobeying the laws. Maybe you begin to see what God is teaching us about obedience here. It's not about the rules anymore. It's not about your reputation in following the rules. It's not about how well you perform or whether you can impress the people around you, nor even whether you can impress God. It's not about your life going smoothly if only you do everything the right way. Obedience is about living in a new righteousness, the new righteousness of Jesus Christ, established by him for us. An obedience that reaches way beyond the old laws. And so in a few chapters later, in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus begins his Sermon on the Mount, and he speaks about following God and what it means to be included in the kingdom of God and the obedience to God's ways. And Jesus says in verse 17, "Don't misunderstand why I have come. I did not come," Jesus says, "to abolish the law of Moses or the writings of the prophets. No, I came to accomplish their purpose." And then a few verses later, he says, "And I warn you, unless your righteousness is better than the righteousness of the teachers of the religious law and the Pharisees, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven." And then Jesus goes on to specify what he means, that the Torah says things like, don't murder, but that the new righteousness says things like, even if you call somebody a fool, you're accountable the same, in the same way as someone who kills a person. Or, for example, the Torah says, don't commit adultery, but the new righteousness in Jesus says, even if you look at a woman lustfully, you sin. Torah says, don't break your promises, but the new righteousness says, let your integrity show your commitments. The Torah says, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, a life for a life, but the new righteousness says, turn the other cheek, go the extra mile. The old law says, love your neighbor. But the new righteousness in Jesus Christ says, love your enemies. We're talking about an obedience that is centered on love. Love for God, love for neighbor, even when your neighbor is your enemy. That kind of obedience requires an all-out willingness to sacrifice yourself, your comfort, your good name, your reputation, your success, even your rights for the sake of God's purpose. That kind of obedience draws us into the mess of the world. It draws us into the sin and the misery and the brokenness of our world to reveal the righteousness of God and his salvation, giving up ourselves for the sake of revealing the righteousness of Christ. That kind of obedience drives us to follow hard after Jesus. So you see, it's not that with the coming of Jesus, obedience is lessened or lightened because of God's amazing grace. It's that obedience is heightened because now we live in the righteousness of Christ. Now we are really alive because we are equipped for an obedience that makes living full of love and joy and peace. So, when Joseph submitted to God's will, he thought he had lost all righteousness. But in his extreme obedience, he allowed the righteousness of Christ to be revealed to all the world. I'm wondering how ready we are to carry out that same kind of humble or even humiliating kind of obedience in our living. In obedience that's willing to crucify all that is cozy and comforting about this season so that we too can reveal the righteousness of Christ in us. Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you that you not only have saved us and rescued us from our sin, and from the misery of our lives, But thank you that you have saved us into the righteousness of Christ. Thank you that you have placed us in your kingdom through the obedience of Jesus Christ, that you have placed us in your presence to live holy lives. And so, God, make us obedient. Make us obedient to your righteousness. And when we fail, oh God, help us to cling to your forgiveness. Help us cling to the righteousness of Christ so that we can live in the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior. So that we can live in the fullness of love and joy and peace, even as we proclaim that very love, joy, and peace in this Christmas season. Father in heaven, we pray for your Holy Spirit to enter into our lives so that our obedience surpasses that of even our best efforts, and that our obedience reveals a joy that we have to live in Jesus Christ and all that he has accomplished for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well then, I hope that in hearing this message, your heart is softened and not only humbled, but also made grateful for what God has done for us. We rejoice and give thanks that our Lord Jesus has given us a memorial of his sacrifice so that we can remember and believe that Christ has established perfect righteousness for us. And so on the night in which he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, he took a cup after supper, and he said, "This cup is the new covenant, but it's in my blood. Do this in remembrance of me." For as often as we take this bread and drink this juice, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. We're proclaiming Christ's righteousness in us. And so, the body of Christ, the blood of Jesus, given gifts to his people for the sake of his kingdom. Take a piece of bread. Remember and believe that the body of our Lord Jesus was given for the complete forgiveness of all your sins. And then take a cup of juice and remember and believe that the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ was poured out so that the righteousness of Jesus could be poured into our lives. Take, drink, enter into the joy of our Lord. As we take in the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, we take in his righteousness, and we are healed of all of our sin all of our brokenness and made whole and new through Jesus. From Psalm 103, we give thanks. Rejoice with the psalmist. As the psalmist says, praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins, heals all your diseases, redeems your life from the pit, and crowns you with love and compassion, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. May God be praised. And so go from this place. Enter into a new week with love in your hearts and the humility to bow to the righteousness of Jesus Christ in all that you do and in all that you are. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face of love towards you and give you his peace. Amen.
Before I spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. So kind to me. I don't deserve it. shine upon you. Be gracious to you, Lord, turn his face toward you and give you peace.
Amen. In his message this morning, Pastor Nathan uses Joseph as an example for us of obedience. Joseph didn't just comply with the expectations of him, but rather he walked into a sacrificial obedience. Let's ask ourselves this week, what does it look like for us in our current restrictions and times to walk out a sacrificial obedience as well? In your Christmas to-do list bag, we have week two challenge. Would you grab that? And if you haven't picked up one of these yet, you can swing by the office and we'll give one to you. If you want to grab week two envelope, we'll pull it out. We're going to read this together. Okay, so week two, obey. Drop off items for Joshua House, men's recovery, or food for the Abbotsford Food Bank at the church. That's one challenge. Next one, in your bag, there are 3 candy canes for you to share with your neighbors. Go ahead and pass those out and maybe start up a conversation, socially distanced. Number 3, as mentioned in our series, Digital Christians, it is important we effectively manage our screen time. Spend a night without phones, TV, or social media. And the last one, Kids Challenge. Go ahead and color that Advent coloring page for week 2. Obey. Awesome. Have a wonderful week. God bless, and hopefully we'll see you soon.